Wasn't I talking to him after church last Sunday night? I'll have another piece of apple pie. You know it don't seem right. I saw him at the sawmill yesterday on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe's jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Mama said to me, child, what's happened to your appetite? Well, I've been cooking all morning and you haven't touched a single bite. That nice young preacher, Brother Taylor, dropped by today. Said he'd be pleased to have dinner on Sunday. Oh, by the way, he said he saw a girl that looked a lot like you up on Choctaw Ridge. And she and Billy Joe was throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge. A year has come and gone since we heard the news about Billy Joe. Brother married Becky Thompson, they bought a store in Tupelo. There was a virus going round, Papa caught it and he died last spring. And now Mama doesn't seem to want to do much of anything. And me, I spend a lot of time picking flowers up on Choctaw Ridge and drop them into the muddy water off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 48 and partly cloudy. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the mid-40s. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 50s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Hello, this is Michael reading the Midland Reporter Telegram Oil Report, Sunday, March 15th, 2020. Increased oil patch activity can magnify legal issues, by Mella McEwen. Eminent domain and condemnation for pipeline construction and recent Texas Supreme Court rulings touching on pipeline construction were topics at the 22nd annual Permian Basin Oil and Gas Seminar. Attorneys focused on energy law are working to keep up with changes wrought by the region's unconventional oil and gas development. Almost 300 lawyers and landmen gathered recently at the Bush Convention Center in downtown Midland for the 22nd annual Permian Basin Oil and Gas Seminar. It's the largest gathering of oil and gas lawyers and landmen west of I-35, said Bill Keffer, professor of energy law and director of the energy law program at Texas Tech University's School of Law. This year, presenters addressed such top topics as condemnation and eminent domain for pipeline construction, royalty litigation, and mineral interest pooling. With increased activity, it brings things into focus and magnifies issues, said Keffer. Mineral interest pooling is the only version of forced pooling that exists in Texas, Keffer said, and it is beginning to be increasingly used in such areas as Pecos and Reeves County, where operators are drilling laterals under the town. People not voluntarily signing up for pools are being lost to history, he said. Unless mineral interest pooling is used, drilling operations would have to be suspended because those people don't exist anymore. It's part of the Railroad Commission's main function of ensuring the efficient management and production of the state's oil and natural gas resources, rather than stranding it because you can't bring people into the pool, he said. Adam Plumley with Jackson Walker LLP in Fort Worth discussed three cases recently ruled on by the Texas Supreme Court that touch on pipelines. One dealt with contract formation, a second with partnership formation, and a third dealt with general or blanket easements. The surge in produced water accompanying the rise in crude and natural gas production has also become an issue as questions arise to who owns that produced water. Technological advancements have made produced water something more than a waste no one wanted to deal with, to now some can utilize it and people want to know how to make money off of produced water, Keffer said. The question of ownership of produced water has not been settled, said Ben Seabury of the Seabury Law Firm in Austin. But since the Texas legislature has passed at least three different statutes saying produced water is an oil and gas waste, he said he believes ownership will go to the mineral estate owners who have the rights to oil and natural gas. My personal theory is that since produced water has been a well-known fact since we've had oil and gas production, we've also known it normally had no value to the surface estate unless they used it for water floods. It would be shocking for surface owners conveyed the oil and gas but kept the oil field waste, he said. Seabury said about 99% of the oil and gas conveyances were made decades before recycling of produced water had been envisioned. Supreme Court rulings say the original intention doesn't change just because produced water suddenly becomes available. He thinks a dispute over ownership will find its way to the courts. Recent legislation from State Representative Drew Darby that passed in the last legislative session allows surface estate and mineral estate owners to reach whatever agreement they wish. But at some point, there will be a case where the two parties can't agree, and that's when it will head to the courts, Seabury said. If the courts rule that produced water ownership belongs to the surface owner, he said produced water recycling will come to a halt and will be difficult to restart. The surface estate owners won't have the expertise needed to obtain the needed permits and secure the required bonds to transport and manage the water or fund the expensive equipment needed for managing produced water, he said. Attention is also being paid to oil and gas issues in the New Mexico portion of the Permian Basin with Stephanie Garcia Richard, New Mexico's Commissioner of Public Lands, addressing the seminar. I want to provide an overview of leasing in New Mexico and highlight how it's different from Texas, especially for public lands, she said as she arrived to address the gathering. She said that in the New Mexico portion of the Permian Basin, 20% of leases are on state land, so operators must navigate leasing state and federal lands to drill wells. Garcia Richards said her office and the state's Democratic governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, recognized that the revenues the state relies on to fund education, health care services, and infrastructure come from the oil and gas industry. I'm talking about responsible development, like getting away from using fresh water, she said. Her goal is to incentivize certain practices such as reusing produced water and increasing the capture of emissions, she said. TXOGA president expects bumpy road as oil markets balance, by Mella McEwen. The oil price collapse that kicked off last week put Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, a bit off his message when he visited Midland to address the Permian Basin chapter, American Association of Drilling Engineers. Staples had prepared to discuss his association's report on the oil and gas industry's contributions to the Texas national and world economies, but felt compelled to address the state of oil prices while speaking at the chapter's luncheon at Bush Convention Center. the price collapse will be impactful to operators, he said following his speech. With the excess supply coming on the market, we need to reset the supply-demand ratio. Hopefully, it will be a speedy process getting through this. He said oil prices were impacted not only by the dispute from Saudi Arabia and Russia over production cuts, but also by the demand destruction wrought by the coronavirus. Combine those with the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates, and the three turned into a market shock, he said. As with other industry downturns, Staples said he expects things to balance out, but it will be a bumpy road and we'll have to ride it out. The industry recovered from the 2014 downturn, and, though this happened so fast, the key is to keep your eye on the goal and be patient. This will be a process that will take time to play out. It was because of the Permian Basin's success in producing oil and gas, which has given the nation a new level of energy independence, that Saudi Arabia and Russia made the decisions they did, he said. He reminded the audience that the industry paid $149 billion in state and local taxes and royalties from 2007 to 2019, revenues that fund roads and infrastructure, education and health care. Oil and gas is indispensable to our daily lives, Staples said, estimating 96% of the products used daily have some aspect of oil and gas, from life-saving medical devices to eyeglasses and contact lenses to smartphones. To address concerns about the industry's environmental footprint, he urged the industry to be more proactive, especially in finding ways to reduce flaring and emissions. He praised the way the industry is working together to find ways to mitigate or eliminate flaring, saying that's another story the industry needs to tell. Of the drive toward renewable energy, Staples said he wants consumers to have a choice rather than having the choice made for them. Wind and solar power are renewable. Wind turbines and solar panels are not, he said, noting that wind turbine blades cannot be recycled and there is only one disposal site in the country capable of handling the large blades. Despite the downturn, Staples urged his audience to continue investing in technology and innovation in order to maintain the industry's global leadership. Technology that is leading to world-class emissions control, such as 3D imaging, handheld optics, artificial intelligence, cloud computing, and data analysis. Already, the industry has spent $300 billion over 15 years to mitigate greenhouse gas emissions, all while boosting oil and gas production to record levels. We need to take that message to 29 million Texans who may not all fully understand the industry, he said. If we don't think about anything else, we need to leave here with a commitment to educate our families and our friends about what the industry contributes, he said. Basin Energy acquires well services business from NexTier by Mella McEwen. Having found its way through some economic turbulence, including moving its stock over to the over-the-counter QX exchange, Basic Energy Services is making some expansion moves. After shedding its pumping services assets, Basic has acquired the production operations assets of NexTier for approximately $94 million. This transaction is a significant positive event for us, Trey Stoltz, Basic's Director of Investor Operations, said in a phone interview. It certainly improves things from an operational standpoint, and it improves our credit profile. Stoltz said company officials have long felt consolidation was needed in the oil field services industry. This is our first move in that direction, he said. He went on to add that the transaction puts the company in a better position both short-term and long-term. The transaction includes 1,800 NexTier employees who will now join Basic, bringing the company's workforce to 5,000 in 11 states. It will expand BASIC's workover fleet, which includes 411 high-spec rigs, and expands BASIC's footprint in the Permian Basin, California, and other basins. The transaction is also expected to generate significant cash flow that will allow the company to further reduce leverage, with liquidity immediately after closing the transaction totaling $65 million. Besides the completion services, BASIC also offers rental and fishing tools, coiled tubing, and water logistics. "We see a need for production services for years to come," Stoltz said. The next-tier production operations, known as C&J Well Services, has its roots in San Angelo, where it was formed in 1948 by Frank Poole as Poole Well Servicing. Jack Renshaw, currently Senior Vice President of C&J Well Services, will join BASIC to lead the newly formed Western Region, which consists of all California and Rocky Mountain operations. Jim Newman, Senior Vice President, Region Operations, will continue to oversee operations in the Permian and Central regions, as well as the Agua Libre Main Midstream. Adam Hurley, current Vice President, Strategy and Business Development of BASIC, will take on the role of Chief Integration Officer and will be responsible for overseeing the integration process, including optimizing the combined business model and extracting cost synergies. Now we go to the Odessa American business page for Sunday, March 15th. The Economist. Oil price war. The price of crude oil has fallen substantially, roiling markets. Let's look at what has happened and what we might expect going forward. Since the coronavirus outbreak began, slack has developed in demand for crude oil. Disruptions and quarantines have caused economic growth in China and elsewhere to slow. With the huge Chinese economy expanding less, slower growth has rippled out, and areas with significant outbreaks have experienced even greater negative effects. The result has been falling demand for oil and natural gas, and therefore downward pressure on prices. Early in the year, prices were in the $63 per barrel range. They had fallen to less than $42 a barrel by March 6th, when OPEC Plus fell apart, at least for the moment. While OPEC, the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, dates back to 1960, over the past few years, Russia has been added to the talks and various production agreements. Production cuts were proposed in recent OPEC Plus discussions to boost prices, but a disagreement between Saudi Arabia and Russia ended with both sides indicating they would instead increase output. With oil prices already down due to virus-related disruptions, the decision by the Saudi Arabian government to engage in what is essentially a price war with Russia caused a substantial decline, about 25% in one day, the largest drop since 1991. As I am writing, there have been some subsequent recovery in response to signals that the Saudis and Russians might resume discussions. If either side dramatically increases crude production, it will create a supply shock to the oil market, and the result could be further declines, which the market appears to be pricing in already. Neither Russia, because of inefficiencies in its production, nor Saudi Arabia, because of the social spending that is tied to oil production, can sustain these prices indefinitely, but it remains to be seen when someone blinks. While both nations would like to put pressure on the U.S. industry as it gains market share, the most likely outcome of low prices would not be shrinking U.S. production over time, but rather consolidation with U.S. companies, with capital acquiring those who falter. In the meantime, U.S. production costs will continue to decline, making any such efforts ultimately futile. Until things settle down, there will be tremendous pressure on the industry as capital dries up and profits shrink. Although production costs have fallen dramatically in Texas in recent years, sustained prices at current levels could lead to notable near-term disruptions in the state economy. It is not practical for Saudi Arabia or Russia to sustain the current situation for long, but the timing of the truce may depend as much on extraneous factors as economics. M. Ray Perryman is the head of the Perryman Group and serves as a distinguished professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. And now here's a column by Dennis Ellum. What happened to my 401k? The DJIA is down after another 761 points in pre-market trading this Friday. This suggests the markets are accelerating in what Elliott termed a third wave, the strongest of the five. If so, the first decline won't end until the low 20s. This column last weekend, Thursday, March 12th, DJIA close, 21,085. If you have been reading this column, you have been prepared for the big swoon in both oil and stock prices. Now readers can catch up by reading our 2020 columns posted March 9th, 2020 at www.professorelam.typepad.com. Question. My 401k had gone to $1 million. Last night, it was worth $750,000. What happened? Answer. Investing rests on the fundamental accounting equation that assets equal liabilities plus equity, or restated, assets minus liabilities equals equity. In a bull up market, which has existed since summer 1982, social mood becomes expansive. People want to invest, join groups, and believe in asset values. This investing inflates the value of assets, while liabilities, amounts owed, stay constant. Remember that, by the way. Examples include Apple, AAPL, Disney, DIS, or ExxonMobil, XOM. As Apple introduces the iPod, then phone, then pad, investors reward the firm by bidding up its asset values. This is interesting in that Apple's real asset, human intellectual capital, does not appear on the balance sheet. Question. Careful, I avoided accounting classes. Answer. I know, bear with me. The example of Disney may be easier to grasp. As social mood improved, people spent more money by attending Disney theme parks, buying DVDs, and now streaming content on various platforms. So the value of the assets went up, resulting in an increase in equity, the value of Disney shares. This continued as Disney trotted out new Star Wars movies and animations. As fracking finally made America virtually energy independent, a new class of producers was born in shale areas. At $100 oil in 2014, prices of these shares soared. ExxonMobil hit $82 back then. Question. I know that. Now, what happened to my 401k? Answer. The accounting belief system works in reverse as well. Once all the true believers have bought in, the markets literally run out of buyers. Early adopters begin to take money off the table by selling to the latecomers. Doubt is expressed that the assets are really worth that much. This represents a mix of social mood occurring in fractals at greater and lesser levels. And so prices for XOM bounced between $62 and $80. The mood swings are grounded in the price of oil. Oil is both an economic and a financial asset. Hence, the price of oil has wider swings than its economic value. Question. Okay, you did note on February 28th, there is no sign of a technical bottom in oil as of this writing. What happened? Answer. There really is no OPEC. There is only Saudi Arabia. Their fellow conspirators in OPEC typically do not abide by voluntary production quotas and will cheat. This makes Saudi the swing producer who is expected to cut back. A week ago, the Saudis tried to get Commissar Putin to cut back Russian production to diminish world supply. Putin, also independent on oil revenue for Russia, said no, preferring to squeeze shale producers with lower prices. And so last Sunday night, the Saudis engaged in an Arab standoff and cut prices $9 a barrel. Question. But doesn't cheaper oil make fuel less expensive, making manufacturing and transport cheaper? Answer. Yes, but a crash in price puts energy service and many producers laden with debt out of business. Recall that while asset values vary in the real world, the lenders demand payment for debt on the books. Now the equation is changing. Asset values, oil in the ground, or a closed Disney theme park plummet. Equity values therefore decline. All of this is magnified by the end of that bull market, which began in 1982. Question. How can you be sure of that? Answer. Well, Goldman Sachs came to that conclusion this past week. Many companies in the energy business are now trading at or below book value, like ExxonMobil, as well as lenders like Cullen/Frost Bank. And it is not over yet. Lots of technical damage has been done. Prices rebounding this Friday morning, DJIA is up 900. But the ups and downs for the immediate future may last until March 23rd to 27th. Then expect an eye-popping rally for a couple of weeks. Brace for volatility. Social mood can be both fickle and fractal. Dennis Ellum is an assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School, and blogs at www.themarketperspective.com. Here is another business-related article. This one is an opinion column from Nicholas Loris. Lower gas prices can boost consumer confidence, the Heritage Foundation. Warmer weather usually means more people getting out and driving to stores, restaurants, baseball games, or sometimes just to drive. Projections that gas prices could soon fall below $2 per gallon would usually be cause for celebration, but these aren't usual times, are they? The reality is the implications for the U.S. economy are unclear. They depend on a range of unpredictable events in the months ahead. But first, here's what we do know. The novel coronavirus has dampened demand. It has curtailed production in Chinese factories and canceled conferences. And less travel has decreased consumption. The International Energy Agency recently reported that oil consumption for the first quarter of 2020 is 2.5 million barrels per day less today than it was a year ago. The agency projects global oil demand will fall for the first time since 2009. With demand slumping, conventional thinking was that the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Russia would agree to cut production in an effort to prop up crude oil prices. Petroleum revenues account for a sizable chunk of these countries' budgets. However, for reasons not fully understood, Russia balked at the latest round of production cuts. One theory is that prolonged supply from Russia and OPEC nations would squeeze out U.S. production. Another theory is that production cuts will cede more opportunities to their American competitors to fill that gap. And yet another theory is that Russia simply wants to flex its muscle and capture more of the market share, irrespective of the costs it incurs. Regardless, Saudi Arabia responded by discounting its oil shales at unprecedented levels to retain its market share and stick it to Russia for failing to agree to the price cuts. The result has been that oil prices plunged nearly 25% in recent days, including one of the largest single-day drops in nearly 30 years. What does this mean for the United States? The short answer is, it depends. Cheaper gas acts like a tax cut, providing more disposable income to families. America's energy-consuming businesses will save big, too, passing savings on to consumers. Recent research from Ameriprise Financial estimates that a 10-cent per gallon drop in gas prices over the course of a year equals roughly $14 billion in consumer savings. Lower gas prices can also help boost consumer confidence that has been shaken in the wake of the coronavirus. Researchers at the Loyola University, Maryland, and the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, found gas price decreases positively impact consumer sentiment. Consumer confidence may be a little low when it comes to hopping on a cruise ship, but households may use those energy savings to grab a bite to eat or to shop at the mall. They may skip the flight to Italy, but take a longer road trip for a spring break vacation. However, for a country that has ascended to become the world's largest oil producer, the news is not all good. 2020 is shaping up to be a challenging year for the industry. While many companies have hedged against lower prices, prolonged periods in the $30 per barrel range will lead to layoffs, lower capital expenditures, bankruptcies, and consolidations. Nevertheless, the overall health of the American oil and gas industry remains strong –